This episode of the Fireflies Unite podcast is sponsored by Saved and Depressed, a suicide survivor's journey of mental health, healing, and faith. After witnessing domestic violence and drug addiction as a child, I struggled with suicidal thoughts from the age of 12 years old into my second suicide attempt at just 24 years old, which led me to being forced into the psychiatric unit. When I reached out to my church family, their comments pulled me away from the church and ultimately God. Even though I understood that their hearts were pure and genuine, they lacked the education on how to handle mental health challenges. In my book, I address generational trauma. I share my darkest moments, insecurities, how I work toward healing and rebuilding a relationship with God. I even offer mental health resources. And it is my hope that when you are finished reading my book, that you will begin to prioritize your mental health and realize that you can pray and see a therapist at the same time. Seeking mental health treatment does not mean that you lack faith in God. My book can be purchased on Amazon and is also available for Kindle readers. Let's get into the show. Fireflies Unite with Kia, your weekly podcast from the perspective of individuals thriving with a mental illness. We are normalizing the conversation about mental health within communities of color to foster mental wellness and empowerment. Welcome to another episode of the Fireflies Unite podcast with me, Kia, where our mission is to bring light into darkness, just like the fireflies, by simply sharing the stories of people of color who live and thrive with a mental illness. And of course, y'all know, to normalize the mental health conversation. So welcome back to a new episode. And you know what I have not done? For some new listeners that we have listening to the podcast, I just want to personally thank you for joining the community and making this your new podcast that you listen to. I know that there are thousands, maybe millions. No, I don't know. But I know that there are a lot of podcasts that you can listen to. And so the fact that you choose this podcast to be one of the ones that you listen to, I appreciate it. I am truly thankful. This podcast was birthed out of a very dark place in my life, and I am a suicide survivor, and I have truly been on a journey to eradicate the mental health stigma within communities of color, and really to make sure that people of color are talking about mental health and that we're doing the things that we need to do to take care of ourselves. And so, as a person who lives with depression and severe anxiety and who has been crippled by it, who has been hospitalized for it, that it can truly be debilitating. And I want people who live with any mental illness, whether it's schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, PTSD, like no matter what it is, I want people to be able to have a space where they can connect with other individuals who share those similar experiences. I know how valuable it is to have a safe space to feel like you're being heard and like you can connect with other people. And so that's why I started this podcast. So welcome. Please tell your friends about it. Share it on social media. If you like what you hear, I encourage you to leave a review on SoundCloud, the Facebook page. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, definitely leave a review there because that's how more people find out about the podcast. So please, please, please. We are approaching soon enough. We're probably, in a few months, we'll be hitting our 100th episode, and I have to do something really special for that. I don't know what, but if y'all have some ideas, be sure to let me know. I also want to encourage you, if you're in the Washington, D.C. area, to please come out July 7th to my D.C. book signing, which will be taking place at the Carolina's Kitchen Bar and Grill in Hyattsville, Maryland. And so there is a panel happening, so the meet and greet is from 2 to 3:30, which anyone can come. You don't necessarily have to RSVP for that. But the panel, the room where the panel was taking place at the restaurant, we are filled to capacity. So we cannot have any more people in the room for the panel. I'm so sorry about that. But it's a good problem to have. But at the same time, unfortunately, I can't accommodate every person. But if you're not in the, but don't worry about it. If you cannot make it, I'll have plenty more events. And also, I want to remind you that I will be speaking at the 4th Annual Minority Mental Health Summit that's hosted by No More Martyrs that will be in Birmingham, Alabama. I'll be sure to leave that information in the show notes. I'm super excited about meeting to other mental health advocates and being among clinicians and just really talking about mental health as it impacts minorities. And so that's going to be super dope. So if you're in the area, or even if you just want to come to the conference, I'll be sure to leave that link in the show notes so that you can join the conference. So on last week's episode, we spoke with Kirsten Silver of the Maryland Employment Network, and she really talked about the value of that employment has in one's recovery. What did you all think about that episode? I thought it was really important, especially for people who receive disability benefits. So if you yourself may not receive it, you may know a family member who received SSI or SSDI benefits, which is income that people who live with a disability, a lot of them receive. But there are so many myths as to why people think they can't work or they're fearful about that. And so I thought it was really important for us to have that conversation. Let me know what you thought of that episode. So on today's episode, we are joined by Brandy Lewis. She is a therapist, she's a speaker, she's a writer, she's an educator, and she has over 15 years of experience as an educator and a counselor, and she is the owner of a private practice, and the name of her private practice is Reach Counseling Solutions, which is located in Charlotte, North Carolina. So if you are in the area and you're looking for a new therapist, you're in that Charlotte, North Carolina area, make sure you hit Brandy up. I truly enjoyed this conversation. So Brandy reached out to me and was interested in being on the podcast, and I'm always super excited to meet therapists who say that they are appreciative and they enjoy the work that I'm doing. It's always good to hear the perspective of a clinician because, like, it humanizes mental health. Brandy and I talk about therapy. We talk about how do you know if you found the right therapist, when it's time for you to look for a new therapist, the things that therapy can benefit. And we just talk all things therapy. So let's get into this episode. Welcome, Brandy, to the Fireflies Unite podcast. How are you?
I am doing well. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So I'm so glad when I hear that clinicians listen to the podcast, because I always make it well known that I'm not a therapist and I'm always advocating for therapy. And so when I get feedback from different, you know, from clinicians, and they tell me that they listen to the podcast or they like the work that I'm doing, it does make me feel good, because it's from, you know, it's obviously from a consumer perspective, because I'm not a clinician. And so when therapists reach out to me and they'll say, like, I love the work that you're doing, my therapist will tell me, she said a lot of times clinicians don't get a chance to see the progress of their clients, like, long term, because September will be 4 years that I've been working with my therapist. And she's like, wow, I'm just so proud of you. She's like, some people just come to therapy when they're in a crisis. But sometimes they may not come when things are great, because they think it's just for when life is hectic, but that's not always the case. So thank you so much for reaching out to me and for being a supporter of the podcast. I really appreciate it.
No problem. You're amazing.
So you have your private practice that's called Reach Counseling Solutions. So what made you want to start your own practice?
Yes, ma'am. So I actually am also a school counselor. And in my work in schools, I have met a lot of young people who struggle with mental health concerns. And so I'm trained in both areas. And so my students would come all the time for very, very serious issues. And I said, okay, how could I take this and how could I, my skills, and how can I serve people a little differently? And so that is how I went into the mental health world, and I became my own business, actually, after I had worked in the field for a few years. And I said, you know what, I have skills that I can serve people with, and I just decided to take a leap of faith and just do it. So it is coupled with a lot of different things, working with children and then working with young women in the community in therapy too. So it's what makes me tick, so to speak. And I have a lot of fun doing it, but I also enjoy being able to help people change their lives. So it's awesome.
Yeah, it is. Like, I always tell people all the time, like, if you want to become a better person, go to therapy. Like, because it's not just for the people. You don't have to have a diagnosis to go to therapy.
Right.
Like, we all have things that we may struggle with or have transitions that we're trying to work through, whether you're starting a new job or just got married or going through a divorce, just had a baby, or maybe you moved. Like, therapy is really great for those things. And I think people should look at it as a way of being proactive versus reactive.
Right.
But I think a lot of times people don't.
Right. I think a lot of times you're right. When things are going well or you have big transitions, I don't think that a lot of us take the time to think about what that means. And I can speak on my own accord in terms of, like, say, for instance, getting married. That's a beautiful thing, and it's a lot of fun to be in a relationship, but it is a huge life change. And so in the happy times, you may need that extra support just to kind of talk out what you're walking through. So you're absolutely right.
Absolutely. And how would someone know, like, if their therapist is the best fit for them? Because I often say that finding a therapist can be like dating, and you may have to go through a few therapists before you find the right one for you. So if someone is looking for a therapist and they're going for a while and they're kind of thinking, like, I'm not seeing any results, or I don't, you know, I had someone say that to me, and I said, well, you do know that it's not an overnight process. Like, it takes a while before you will start to see changes. You know, a lot of people think they'll just go to therapy and they'll be like, oh, I'm fixed. And I'm like, y'all, it does not work like that. Like, you really, it's one thing to talk about what's going on in your life that you're, or challenges that you may be going through. It's another thing to actually do the work, such as changing your behaviors and changing the mindset. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So one of the questions I like to ask my clients is, and this is part in an evaluation of myself and also for their experience, but also just ask the question of, do I feel heard? Because I think when we have conversations with our friends or even our family members, we could talk about something and gripe about it, but do you feel like the person is actually listening to what you have to say? And do you feel some level of validation in that conversation? For example, if you are talking about a very serious issue, let's say a breakup, and your therapist is listening to you, but they're also not giving you any feedback on the things in which you say, you might want to bring that up in the next session, if you make it to the next session, just to kind of evaluate what you need. So one is, do you feel heard? And two, do you feel comfortable enough to ask for what you need? I think therapy can be a very scary experience for some people, not because the clinician isn't welcoming, but because it's difficult to talk about very real things. And so being able to open up about those things can be an issue for some clients. But the question that I always have to ask is, do you feel comfortable enough to ask for what you need or tell me what you need? And then thirdly, I think it's just a matter of personality too. We're people, just like everybody else. And I think the assumption is that your clinician will have it all together and everything is going to be perfect with that person. But But sometimes personalities don't always connect, and that's okay. But I think that's something as a client that you have to evaluate is this person's personality lending itself to my help? You know what I mean? It's really easy to kind of say I'm not coming back just based on how someone speaks to you. But do you feel heard? Do you feel like you can say what you need to say or ask questions? And two, do you feel good energy? Do you connect with that person?
Mm-hmm. Yep. I agree with all those things because, like, when I first started going to therapy, I was an undergrad and it was for dealing with grief. And then I worked out because I was in a group. It was called group, like a grief group that I participated in. It was really good. And then after I left undergrad, I would say part of the reason why I felt like I didn't make any progress because I didn't. Mm-hmm. I was fearful to say what I was. Well, not with the group. The grief group I did well in, but when I went to see another therapist after I graduated from undergrad, the therapist was white, and I'm not saying that she could not have helped me. So I think part of it was my fear of like, oh, you know, I don't feel like she can relate to me or she know what it's like being a Black woman. That's not to say people who are not Black that they can't work with Black clients. But for me, I know I felt best working with a Black woman. Mm-hmm. And so once I felt comfortable, I found my therapist that I have now, and she's a Black woman. I felt like this is the most progress I've ever made. One, because I felt comfortable with her, but then two, because I also have done the work. So I think that's one thing for people to ask themselves too, because you can go to therapy, but it's like, are you ready to put in the work? Are you ready to make the changes that you're going to have to make? And you may not be ready at that particular time, but I will always still encourage people to come back or to ask themselves when they think they will be ready. And even if they don't know, to try to do their best to push through, because therapy, you have so many amazing breakthroughs. It's not always about, you know, crying all the time and saying like, this is so hard, but there are so many. It was actually through therapy that I kind of like decided I wanted to do a podcast. Who would have thought? So I think so many people just, they limit therapy to like, oh, I'm just going through this challenging time. Not for me, like now life is great. This is the best that I've ever been doing. And now I have to learn how to like now managing, you know, being self-employed and figuring out how I'm going to like manage my schedule and what are the things that I need to do as far as like setting boundaries when certain people are reaching out to me and asking me for help. What are, you know, so these are new things that I have to navigate. Like when I'm at a speaking engagement, I need a day to kind of regroup, before, you know, before talking, you know, before like kind of going out and getting back into engaging with people. What are the things that I need to do to recharge and like take care of myself so that I don't burn out, because I'm really passionate about this work, but I can't let my mental health go, by the wayside. And so like, these are new, this is a new transition for me. And so therapy has helped me with that too.
Yes. So awesome that you mentioned all of those parts. Particularly when you were talking about your therapist and how you connect with her. I think what I have learned just as a clinician and as a client is inclusion and seeing examples of people who look like you, regardless of what your ethnicity or your culture may be. I think that is hugely important, like you said. I think it isn't that people can't connect to you from different ethnicities. I think it's just a sense of comfort for a lot of people. And so I'm really thankful that you've had a good experience. And now in this stage of being self-employed and having a lot of different things to do, being able to recognize that, you know, hey, I got to take time to do things that will take care of my soul too. And that is absolutely key. And I can say that from experience. It just it can enhance your life so much if you take the time to do that. And alternatively, you discover how tired you become when you haven't taken the time to do that. So that's awesome.
Yeah, and sometimes people do, they just kind of like keep going. They're like, they don't even know, like they know they're tired, but they're like, I can't stop because if I don't stop, this is like, this is not going to get done. And this is not going to do this. And it's like, oh, I'm not going to be able to do this. Or, and it's like, yeah, but you can't afford not to stop because then you're going to have a breakdown.
Yeah. And I think some of that is cultural in terms of, I can speak as an African-American woman. I think some of us, we tend to work really hard just because we have to sometimes. And because we have people that we are taking care of, are serving, and that's just part of being a woman. I also think in part, it's almost the American way to work hard and eventually play hard. So I think you're right. It's, you need it. If not, you may find yourself in a bad place.
Yep. And I think it's interesting. That was something I talked about in my book, saying how like I don't sacrifice sleep and rest in the name of success, like because we're told like you have to work twice as hard to get half of what you know our white counterparts have. You have to you know, it's like sleep when you're dead, and it's like that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And I fell into that trap before. And then, like, once I had my suicide attempt and I was in the hospital and I started really working in my recovery, I was like, I cannot function like that. Like, I can be successful and well-rested. Like, it's important. Like, sleep impacts your mental health. The foods that you eat impact your mental health. The people you surround yourself with impact your mental health. Literally everything does. And it's like, if you're not taking care of yourself as well as your energy and the people that you allow in your space, those things will impact you. And I think it's important that people realize that. And I know one of the things that you do with your client is you, is it like your therapy method that you use or your strategy you use as far as REI? And so can you talk about that and how it supports your clients and like, what are the benefits of it?
Yeah, so I call it REI, R-E-I, and it's long-term therapy. So it's a strategy that I use. And the way I came up with it is kind of interesting, but I grew up in a church, and so I read my Bible. And I met my husband, not my husband, but my cousin's husband, and his name happens to be REI. And I remember thinking, well, where is that? He said, well, it's in the Bible. So I found it. And the person REI in the Bible was one of the few people that helped King David when he slew Goliath and had his slingshot. And he's only mentioned like once. And so it made me think, and I was like, okay, I can put this in perspective for regular life. You can go through a lot of struggles and a lot of giants by yourself, or feel like you're by yourself and you have nothing to fight with. But you may have that one person or that one situation that may help you along. And just from a personal standpoint, I always felt like that. Like I always had that one person that will have my back and I'm fighting giants all the time. So I said, okay, how could I use what I've learned to serve my clients? So REI stands for Restoration, Empowerment, and Initiative. And we do it over at least a series of 6 to 8 weeks. And the first part is restoration. Basically, first of all, how are you going to restore your soul? And we talk about what that looks like. For some people, that is something as simple as journaling or just taking a break to exercise just to get out of the house. But equally, it could be more intensive procedures as far as like acupuncture or Reiki or even yoga, but something that you can do that gives you at least a little bit of time for yourself outside of therapy that you can do to kind of regain your peace and, you know, remember who you are even after a crisis. And it doesn't matter what the crisis may be. Empowerment is once you've taken that time to schedule enough time for yourself each week, in addition to your therapy sessions, what can you do to help you learn about what you're dealing with or how can you overcome some things? And so I love reading. and I love podcasts too. So my suggestion is always, what can you find to read or what can you find to listen to kind of add to what you're doing throughout the week? But in that, and I'll talk about that in a minute, but in that, how do you establish more boundaries? How do you learn what you really like to do? Because I think sometimes we can go through crises or even have trauma and have no idea what we like or even who we are after that particular instance. And so I think it's important to become empowered by learning. And also just learning how to say no. That sounds really simple.
That's actually hard.
It's so hard. And it's hard for anyone. And so we learn how to do those types of things during the empowerment stage. And then the last one is initiative. I think what annoys me as a human and as a clinician is that people often will shun people who have very serious diagnoses such as depression or anxiety or anything really and say, well, you just need to hurry up and get out and do something or don't stay in the house. And I think that what a lot of people don't realize is that it is very hard to just do things sometimes when you have very serious trauma or you struggle with depression. It's not that simple. But I think with the initiative phase, what we like to do is learn how to feel the emotions that you might feel and then learn how to get around those. Like, how do you manage that when they come? Because if you know when they're coming, you can kind of manage how you respond. It doesn't change that it will happen, but you are taking the initiative to feel and you are taking the initiative to think about how you manage your triggers. In doing that, it helps you to kind of move a little differently in your life. So it's a three-part series, but we do it over a long amount of time just so that it is retained. It's kind of like how you were saying, like some people can go to therapy and say, okay, I'm good now, I have to go back. But I have learned that in doing things a little slowly, it becomes part of your habits and not just something that you just become aware of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good, because it's one thing to be aware of something, is another thing to do something with the awareness. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's power in being aware, but there's more power in taking the necessary steps to mm-hmm. make that particular change and to work on your healing. And mm-hmm. I'm glad that you came up with REI. I was like, okay, it's REI, but yeah, so REI, which is mm-hmm. interesting because I've never heard, obviously I've heard the story about David, but I don't even recall REI like in the story.
Most people don't.
And I'm going to have to like go back and look, because that's very interesting and that you would use that. So since you said you grew up in the church and you came up mm-hmm. with REI as a strategy mm-hmm. that you used to help with clients. So would you consider yourself to be a Christian or faith-based therapist?
So I think there's two ways to look at it. I am a counselor who happens to be a Christian. I don't always think of myself as a Christian counselor. But if my clients need that type of assistance, I can always provide it, but I don't always say I'm a Christian counselor, because I think that the methodology in terms of how you counsel people is a little different when you do Christian counseling, but it is also something that I don't hide.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. No, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Because I know there are some, like I identify as a Christian, but honestly, I don't even know if my therapist is a Christian. I don't mm-hmm. really know. I haven't really asked her, and I don't really care if she is or if she mm-hmm. isn't, because I've made a lot of progress with her. And uh-huh. I'm actually very attached to my therapist. I told her that I know that I'm her favorite client, even though she can't tell me that I am. And she bust uh-huh. out laughing. She's like, well, actually, Takiya, you are one of the clients that have the most access to me. I'm like, because I'm your favorite. That's why. But yeah, she always says, like, she's really proud of me. But I think mm-hmm. it's, you know, in terms of REI, I love the method just because it's very, like, practical and realistic. And it's something that people can, after, not just while they're like actually in the session with you, but they're able to take what they've learned out the session and like apply it to their everyday lives. Mm-hmm. And that's what's most important when, you know, when you're, when someone is going to therapy, is like, okay, how does this apply? How can I apply this to my life? How will this improve my life? Mm-hmm. And it's like this, simply this process of self-discovery and really working toward your healing. So I think this is great. When you're, how long does it, I know it varies from client to client, but typically how mm-hmm. long does it take for a client to go through like this, the REI process?
I've seen people do it in 6 to 8 weeks. There are other situations it may take, you know, much longer. The longest that I have done is 4 months with someone. And that is just, it's hard to liken therapy to a lot of things, but it's similar to losing weight, for example. You just got to mm-hmm. be ready. And I think that for that particular situation, it just took a while to be ready to keep moving through the process. So I think that has been the longest that it's taken. But for most people, it's 6 to 8 weeks.
6 to 8 weeks. Okay. Awesome. So what would you tell someone who's thinking about therapy but is skeptical?
Firstly, I think for one, to find a therapist, there are a lot of good places to find people. Friends and family may actually have someone in mind, or your primary care doctor may actually have someone in mind. But I think the most important thing is to not to go into it to thinking that it's very clinical or stuffy. It really is a relationship and a conversation. It is helpful if you find someone who can relate to you culturally and someone that you feel freely that you can speak to, but I would say don't go into it feeling that it has to be very stuffy and very, you know, straight lined. I have a lot of fun working with my clients. We laugh all the time. So I think also to just be who you are. And if at that time you feel broken, you have to show up broken, because being more authentic will help you throughout the process. But if you go into it with a mindset that it's supposed to be very stuffy and very straight line, then it becomes that. And I would say just come with an open mind, but also know that you have options and that you're not necessarily tied to a person. So I would say those two things first.
That's a great tip as far as like not feeling bad, like, oh, I kind of have to break up with my therapist. Your therapist will not take it personal. No. They, you know, understand that not every client is for them. Mm-hmm. And I would also just, you know, add to that in telling people to give themselves some grace and right. knowing that it really is a process and it's not an overnight thing. Mm-hmm. But but therapy is definitely, you know, it's worth the investment for your mental and emotional health, and mm-hmm. for you to be able to simply just navigate through life, because adulting is hard.
Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm. It is. It really is. And I think that, like you said, grace is important. And simply put, just be easy on yourself. I have found just in living and just having clients that people can be so hard on themselves. And my thought that I usually say is the world is going to be hard on you. You don't have to be hard on yourself. Mm-hmm. So it's, I think if you show up as you are in that time and be who you are, that is when, for me, I found that the process is a lot more fulfilling for the client. It's because they're showing up as who they are without bringing their representative. And instead of mm-hmm. expecting your therapist to like the representative, when the real person shows up, that's difficult. So I think just it's better when you just live in that time.
Yeah. And if a lot of therapists, mm-hmm. I would like to say that they will be able to tell if they're meeting your representative. Mm-hmm. They may not call you out on it. Mm-hmm. depending on where you are in the process. Like, my therapist will call me out on something all the time, but
I love it.
But but I also have established a relationship. People always tell me, because I'll talk about like my relationship with my therapist, whether it's on the podcast or like or on social media, people are like, I love the relationship you have with your therapist. I'm like, girl, I love my therapist. And I told her, if she ever move, I'm moving where she moving. And I will literally have a meltdown. I told her how I take it personal. She'll be like, oh, I can't come in today to the office today. She'll text me and be like, oh, I'm sick, so I can't come in, or I'm taking, you know, a week off, because she has her own practice. She's like, I'm taking a week off, you know, I'm to go on vacation or whatever. I'd be like, what you mean you're going on vacation? What do you mean you're taking a day off because you're sick?
I need you.
I need you. But yeah, it's great, you know, when you can have established that relationship. My therapist has truly been great. She's gone above and beyond. She supported my event. She has, you know, just been a huge support system. And so I know you're based in like the Charlotte, North Carolina area, right?
I am. I'm actually based in Charlotte, North Carolina, and I am also going to be moving my practice to New Orleans, actually, in the coming weeks. So I'm actually really excited about that, to be able to serve people there too. So,
yes, so you will have two practices. Will you still have the one in Charlotte and plus the one in New Orleans?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I totally get what you're saying when you're like, my therapist, if she moves, I'll be, you know, distraught a little. So yeah, that's what I'm doing.
So can you, so the name of, again, of your practice is Reach Counseling Solutions. Are you currently accepting any new clients?
Yes, ma'am, I am. To clients who live in North Carolina, I am, and also to people who live in Louisiana also.
Okay, awesome. And can you share your social media, if you have any social media handles for like your practice, and your website, so that those who are in the New Orleans area and the Charlotte, North Carolina area, they can reach out?
Yes, ma'am. My website is reachcounselingsolutions.com, and it's Reach, R-E-A-C-H. All of my social media handles on Instagram and Facebook are at Reach Counseling Solutions. I have my email address listed on my website too, but I would love to hear from you. I love working with women, particularly women of color, but women who are in transition or any type of time in your life, like special times like marriages and things like that. So I love working with women. But the thing that I enjoy the most about working with my clients is that I get to show up as myself, and I expect for you to show up as yourself. So we have a lot of fun, actually.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Brandy, for just taking time out of your day to join me on the podcast and sharing. Of course, I'm like excited, and you know, you're a supporter of the podcast. So I was like, yes, I have to interview her, and especially that you have, you know, your strategy, Rhea, that you use, which I think is great. I like love that you came up with that. And we will, and what I will do, I will also include your social media handles and your website in the show notes so that people can refer back to it.
Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome.
I hope that you obtain tools and resources from the Fireflies Unite podcast to help you manage your mental health. But please do not use it as a substitute for a relationship with a licensed therapist or psychiatrist. Let's continue the conversation by following me on Fireflies Pod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.